From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast today. A chance of rain, cloudy, and a high near 66 degrees. Tonight, rain and 47 for a low. Tomorrow, showers and a high near 49. Saturday, showers likely and 50 degrees. And by Sunday, mostly sunny, but a high only up to about 48. 67 degrees now. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, a couple more legislators today as we look back to Tuesday's November general election. David Brock Smith will join us in the second segment. Cedric Hayden on. Cedric, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Well, thanks for giving me a call here. It's always a pleasure to be on with your show.
And, of course, you had talked the last time we spoke that you still are down working on fire cleanup down in California.
Yeah, so once the immediate threat kind of subsides a bit, they do hang on to some of the equipment. About half of my crews are home now. So we're starting to get a little bit of a break, but then they go through and they rehab these dozer lines that have been just pushed out very quickly to try and stop the fire. And then we go back and clean those up and, you know, pull all the dirt back and heal it up as best we can. So that started about a week ago, and my machines are still down working on that. I'm looking forward to next week, to an extended R&R. And get home for a little bit.
So in the midst of all this, we had an election. You were successful in that. And talk about just some of your thoughts about not only your race, but also some of the other legislative races in the region.
Well, this was a really different election than what we had, at least what I've experienced in the past under the COVID-19. So it was almost a virtual election, if you could, or if you would, rather than, you know, historically I've done a lot of door knocking, door to door, and those kind of things. And there was some of that that went on this election, but not as much. And so most of it was actually social media reaching out and phone calls and things like that. So I'm really thankful that the constituents, the folks that have hired me again to do that. And both Douglas County and in Lane counties had a really strong showing, and thank you to those folks.
So what are your thoughts in terms of some of the other legislative races?
So, you know, I was kind of assigned this time around as one of the assistant leader positions to Christine Drazen, Representative Drazen, on the House side. And, you know, everybody worked really hard. We did have some successes. Of course, we would always like more. But we were able to flip two seats. Both of those were coastal seats. And one of those touched into Lane County. So that was one that I was involved with, House District 9 or Boomer Wright down there. Of course, vote tiles tallies aren't completed and it's not official, but it does look pretty good that he will be able to win that seat. And so that goes from the D column back to the R column. And then House District 32 further up the coast, which I wasn't as directly involved with Suzanne Weber, looks like she's going to hang on to that. And that's another change from a D to an R. And then if you skip over to the Bend side, we had a loss from an R, it looks like, to a D. And so we flipped two seats, but it wasn't a two-seat pickup, unfortunately. But it was a one-seat pickup, and that's really critical because that one-seat pickup gets us out of the supermajority. And, you know, the Democrats were spending a lot of money and trying to get to a quorum-proof majority, which would have been 40 on their side and 20 in ours. We were at 22. It looks like, if everything trends the way it is, we're going to end up with 23 to 37 and take away that supermajority from them.
And how does that potentially change things for the next legislative session?
So the next legislative session, if I have my my math right there, I believe that we would have more leverage on stopping a tax bill. Now, we see all sorts of revenue raising, as the Constitution requires, has to have those 38 votes to get that passed. And if the Democrats don't have that, if they only have 37, then we have leverage on that to be able to stop that. And so that's an important thing, because it looks like on the Senate side, they might not have that leverage again. And so hopefully we can utilize that.
And what are your thoughts in terms of legislative priorities, maybe things that you're working on in crafting bills for the next session?
Well, the things that I'm working on are kind of healthcare-oriented. I will be working harder to bring in more conversations about forest management, because I'm on the natural resources. I've been trying to do that over the last couple of sessions, but I think there's a little more appetite to have that conversation. So that's going to be one of my focuses if the count is official and it looks like at 2/3 to 1/3, I'll probably end up going back. So I really want to work on that natural resources side. And, with proper forest management, we can create jobs and try and stimulate some of our rural economy that still has lagged behind, even though we've had a better economy these past 4 years than we've had before that.
Do you feel like the long-term impact of the fires, as people look around, may provide the opportunity to drive more discussion between the traditional two sides of forest management in terms of arguments, and look at maybe making some changes because people see the impact of what happened with the fires?
Well, one of the key things that would really be helpful in that conversation, to try and get a bipartisan conversation about it, if you kind of think historically, when they talk about renewable energy or clean energy, just because Bonneville was built many years ago, they don't call that clean energy, although it's producing electricity cleanly, and so they don't add that to the total. The same of, clean energy percentage versus something that might be produced from natural gas, which is pretty clean. But the same conversation takes place with wildfire. When these wildfires erupt, there's a huge amount of carbon that's emitted into the atmosphere through the burning of that. And we've repeatedly brought that information forward that say, if you want to calculate the carbon footprint and you want to figure out ways to mitigate that, then let's have a bipartisan conversation that includes that, an average of what that carbon releases during firefighting or, fire season, because we believe that we could, with policies, mitigate it. Now, they believe that we can't, with policies, mitigate that, and so they focus all of their policies on a much smaller carbon footprint than what we see of the average of these wildfires throughout, a 10-year period of time. And we're saying, well, let's have the conversation on two sides of the aisle rather than a conversation just on one side of the aisle. And we haven't been able to get there. I'm hoping this year, because of the devastating wildfires and top of mind, that we can have better bipartisan conversations about that.
Looking to the next legislative session, and of course with COVID-19, there are many unknowns and few knowns, but what about looking at a budget, in the legislative session with money needed for COVID-19 relief possibly, and the higher cost of different aspects of state government? It seems like lawmakers in 2021 are going to have quite a challenge.
Yeah, it is going to be quite a challenge going forward, and depending on what our national election results in and federal money or not federal money to help some of the states with some of that. Of course, even federal dollars comes from your taxes. If you go back far enough, you pay federal taxes, you pay state taxes. But on the state side, we've been hit so hard in Oregon with all of the shutdowns and COVID-related things, where do you make up that, $3-4 billion in a biennium? I just don't know that you can make that up.
Certainly shouldn't make that up through hardworking Oregonians by increasing their tax percentages. And so we're going to have an honest conversation about balancing that budget through some reductions in spending.
All right, out of time for our first segment. State Representative Cedric Hayden, thanks for being on.
Thank you, sir.
12:45, we'll talk to David Brock Smith when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 12:45 at Inside Douglas County, for News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 12:48, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. Northwest Wine Radio with Brian Calvert looking at wine, beer, and spirits around the Northwest later this afternoon. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools give you an update on what the district is doing given the COVID-19 situation. And another lawmaker on with us in this segment, State Representative David Brock Smith. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, first of all, talk about your race. You also were successful, but talk about how it was to have a race, especially with all the differences due to COVID-19.
Well, it was a very different race, especially considering COVID. We weren't able to get out there and really talk to the people like we normally would appreciate doing. And that was something that, you know, staying at home and trying to get out when you could, lots of phone calls, lots of Zoom meetings, but really lots of support for the other races. And as you are aware now, we was successful in replacing retiring Representative Caddy McEwen, my district to the north, with Boomer Wright. He ran a fantastic campaign. Incredible man and candidate. Look forward to working with him as the chair of the Oregon bicameral bipartisan legislative coastal caucus. And then I, of course, focused on the north coast as well, up in Clatsop County and Tillamook County, in retiring Tiffany Mitchell's legislative seat in District 2, or excuse me, 32, with regards to Suzanne Weber, longtime mayor of Tillamook, who was successful. So my race, my opponent, Calla Felicity, basically was just using her candidacy as a platform for her hate speech. And that was called out in our League of Women Voters Zoom meetings. And so I'm honored and privileged, of course, to serve the residents of House District 1. And I appreciate their support in sending me back into the State House to do their work for them.
And with the changes in the House, now you've got a bit of a shift in terms of the supermajority issue.
We do. We're not quite there yet, unfortunately. But we did gain a seat, which is the first time we've done so in quite a many cycles. And we're excited about the positive move forward. I mean, Bend was a tough race where we lost Representative Sherry Helt over there in that 14 or plus D registration advantage. And Sherry did a fantastic job in the legislature, and was sorry to see her go. But with additional seats, and we have opportunities to have a greater voice and move things forward for rural Oregon, which is what we need, is more balanced legislature so that rural Oregon's issues are heard, and so that we can bring those messages to those Portland elites.
While your district includes part of Douglas County, biggest chunk, of course, is over on the coast. And you've said before that a lot of folks in even this part of Southern Oregon and Roseburg don't understand some of the differences that you're facing and some of the challenges on the South Coast.
Well, we're all, you know, we're a natural resource-based economy, and that's what built our communities and has been meant to sustain them. And that equates to Roseburg and Douglas County as well. And I'm everything natural resources in the legislature with regards to my committee assignments on energy and environment, ag and land use, Natural Resources. I was the co-vice chair of the Joint Committee on Carbon Reduction and came up and drafted the Republican version of cap and trade, if you will, the -A60 amendments back in the 19 session that the 2020 session that ultimately failed due to the supermajority and caused us to push forward with the initiative process that we wanted the people of Oregon to vote on it. And of course, we all know how that turned out. But it is different because of the fishing industries that we have over here that are the other part of the natural resource based industries on the coast, and the fact that we've been driven into more of a tourism economy rather than a natural resource based economy, just because of the decisions made by Portland elitist and what I call the natural resource profit for nonprofits.
And it's been, when you talk about the tourism part, I imagine for the coast, with a lot of people limiting travel, it has been probably extra challenging in the past several months.
It has been. I mean, we have, we saw still, of course, an increase in travel along the coast, and we've had, and especially in Curry County, low rates of COVID infections, but the economy over here on the coast hasn't really recovered since the 2008 recession. And so being in double-digit unemployment is something that we can't continue to do. And of course, like everywhere else, housing and workforce housing is an issue, and getting jobs for our younger folks to be able to stay in our communities. And so grateful for Senator Hurd's work and the new college over there in Roseburg, and tackling the workforce housing issues as far as they go throughout the district. And so it's something that we have, although we're still rural Oregon, we have different demographics whenever you have a district as large as mine.
What about some of the ideas you have for maybe a legislation you're starting to work on for the next session?
So I was successful in getting our state meat inspection bill passed that I've been trying to get passed for a number of years now in the first special session of this year, which will really help our farmers and ranchers, especially as they move forward, where we can have the state Oregon Department of Agriculture inspect our beef and pork and other items, to where they don't have to travel so far to have that USDA inspection. I'm going to be moving forward legislation that I've been working on to help address the workforce housing even further, but for purchasing houses. And it's going to be a pilot project to allow investors that want to build workforce housing, and if they sell it at lower than market value to a qualified buyer of 120% or below area median income, then they can get an Oregon tax credit based on the difference, based on the cost of construction, which will help put houses out there for our teachers and our firefighters and our police officers and really our workforce throughout our mill workers and so forth. I want to look at how we address the sustainability of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And we can't continue to sustain it by increasing licensure fees for those that enjoy the hunting and fishing. And so that's something that we're going to be addressing. I want to look at the land use appeal issues that are occurring across the state. The fact that somebody that lives in Wallala County can stop a project in Curry County is ridiculous. There needs to be skin in the game with regards to appellate processes. I want to bring back the reforestation tax credit for private timber owners. I mean, 80% of the fires that occur in this state occur on federal land, and of the 20% that don't, only 5% is burned on private, and they don't get compensated for that fires that come over onto their land. So lots going on.
All right, State Representative David Brock Smith, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.